at me, I be work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt. There's something about that work, 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 work. When you walk a line, 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 line. I'm in the cafe, my tie, 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 tie. Drive me, I deserve it. No time to have you lurking.
Hey everybody, welcome to Wit Works Radio. This is Lauren Creamer, your guest host today. I am joined by my wonderful colleague, Kristen Ekman, on the boards.
Hello, hello everyone, welcome.
And we actually have a, I don't know if we've done this before, or if we have, it hasn't been super successful, but we have a guest on who is with us by phone, so hooray for technology. Amanda Ford is a Wentworth alumna from 2004, and she studied architectural engineering with us while she was here, which I'm really excited to learn about because we don't have that major anymore. But Amanda, I'm just going to jump in the interest of time and making sure you get to share your story. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, what your current role is, and maybe just roll into just a little bit about your professional life?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. My name is Amanda. I grew up in Boston, from Dorchester, and I went to Wentworth. I graduated from Boston Latin Academy and enrolled at Wentworth. I was interested in architecture, so for a long time I wanted to be an architect. And then after the first 2 years of the general architecture program is where we would choose our major. I'm not sure how you guys do it now, but you choose your major, you can go into the five-year architecture or the four-year architectural engineering program. So based on some of my early exposure to some of the engineering sides of architecture, I decided to go into the architectural engineering program. So I enrolled there, graduated. I actually moved to Virginia for a couple of years, get my feet wet in the professional space before moving back to Boston. So right now in my role, I work for the Mass State College Building Authority, which is a state agency which manages the different projects on the state university campuses. There's nine state universities, and I am director of capital renewal. So part of what I do is take an idea at the university from inception all the way through design, funding and financing, construction, and up to final CFO to operations, where we turn it over to university, but we're still actively involved in the long-term facility maintenance and management, long-term capital planning at the universities, and especially in the residence halls, which we actually own separate from the university.
That sounds like a really interesting job. I mm-hmm. personally have been, I used to work in residence life before I was in career services, so mm-hmm. I've spent time around major residence hall construction projects, and I just think the whole thing from start to finish is fascinating. And I'll come back to that later because I'm curious how you mm-hmm. got into that particular part of the marketplace. Yeah. But let's start with how and why did you come to choose Wentworth as the school for you?
Sure. So at Boston Latin Academy, I would say I had a very privileged experience. I got to join the architecture club very early at Latin Academy, and we started in the seventh grade. So,
wow.
So by ninth, 10th grade, I was already in an architecture club. We were doing tours around the city. We were being taught by people in the architecture profession. We got to tour Harvard, MIT, and go on various places. You know, Boston's a very active place when it comes to architecture.
Yeah.
So it really boosted my interest, and I said, I definitely want to be an architect. I mean, you know, and then back in the day, you think architects make tons of money. So I'm like, oh man, I'm going to be filthy rich. So I started there, and had the opportunity to look at colleges and different schools, and Wentworth was one of them. I actually liked Virginia Tech as my top school because Virginia Tech, I love their football team. So
sure.
I was really like, oh man, I want to be a Hokie. I want to go to Virginia Tech. However, you know, life intervenes, and Wentworth gave me a really outstanding financial aid package, including the REAC scholarship, which was the highest merit scholarship that Wentworth offered, and it was guaranteed for 4 years.
Wow.
So with a package like that, you know, football wasn't as important as making sure I could pay for my education.
Sure.
So I ended up deciding to enroll at Wentworth, and part of the REAC package, I also had to live on campus for all 4 years. So it gave me a chance to live in the dorm. I lived in all of them that were created from 620 and before. So I lived in Baker, I lived in Evans and Rogers, Evans Way. So I had a really good experience on campus. They basically started from, you know, getting scholarships, getting tons of financial aid, and not leaving school with a ton of debt.
That's amazing.
And so that's the reason why.
Wow. Okay. What do you think some of your favorite memories are from being a Wentworth student? You were involved in a lot of different things on campus. You were part of NSBE, Student Senate, and it looks like that you did some volunteering work in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Those and other experiences, what do you remember most?
I think what I liked most was, you know, when I came to Baker Hall, freshman, fresh out of water. I didn't know anyone at Wentworth, so I didn't know a lot of people who were coming to Wentworth from my high school or from my area. So being in Baker Hall, I met a lot of freshmen who were in the same position. We actually had a lot of hall activities, so in the evening time, so it gave you a chance to get out of your room, talk to people you wouldn't normally talk to. And at the time, I believe we were a lot of our roommates were fellow architecture students. So it was kind of like, it was someone that was already in architecture, you're already around, but then being in the dorms, you got a chance to meet people who you wouldn't have met, people who were in computer science, mechanical engineering, and so forth, who might be into the same things as you, but you wouldn't otherwise see them every day when you're stuck in the architecture studio forever and ever. So I think what I definitely enjoyed was when I came here, I became a tour guide, in part to meet people. So I worked through admissions with Keiko Broomhead, and who still remembers me, which is great. So I got a chance to give tours, talk to other students. I actually met an architect 3 years ago from one of the architecture firms in Boston who remembered me giving her a tour.
Wow.
When she went to Wentworth. So it's been kind of, you know, it's been a good experience that some of the things that I've been able to do have sort of carried on. Joining NSBE gave me a chance to meet other students who were like me from Boston, some of whom were first-generation college students doing something different in engineering and sciences. So for those of us who needed support, we could talk to each other and support each other. And then volunteering at the Mission Hill Housing Project, I met children, so I know Boston, I love Boston, and I know like all the colleges, but I met students, teenagers who didn't know that they were right beside Wentworth, didn't know they were right beside College of the Fenway, didn't know they were down the street from Northeastern University. So it was eye-opening to me that there were children out there who really hadn't the same desire that I had to go to college and do certain things because they hadn't been exposed to it. So it gave me a chance to do that, and I felt really good about that.
Wow. So do you feel like your time volunteering with Mission Maine, I mean, it sounds like you were able to learn something, but do you feel like being there, you were able to expose folks who maybe otherwise didn't realize how close they were to opportunities? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you were able to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. Because, you know, we took them on tours of the campus, and individual students, so, you know, not a huge tour, but just enough for them to see it and feel like, you know, you can come to this school, you can belong here.
Yeah.
There's tons of different opportunities, even if you go to one of the COF schools. You know, there's something out there for you, and it's right beside you. And also Wentworth had, I think they do still have a lot of outreach programs that are free or low cost for local students.
Yeah.
So someone who might not have even walked on campus and asked a question now knows that there's a place that they can go to get some after school education or experiences.
Yeah, that's amazing. I I have a question that wasn't on your prescribed list of questions.
Sure.
So I hope you're okay with that.
No, I'm
curious. It sounds like you really loved your time in the residence hall, and it's
mm-hmm.
resonated with you after all of these years. Do you ever draw on that experience in your role at the Massachusetts State College Building Authority?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because part of what we do, so I've built a few brand new out-of-the-ground halls at Bridgewater State. I built the Wagon Hall several years ago. At Framingham State, where I'm at today, I built West Hall recently, and both of those halls use a different suite and bedroom type than what they had on campus previously.
Mm-hmm.
So part of, you know, the early design and study work is convincing the Res Life directors that just because you don't have this sort of unit type already, this is a type that can work for your student. This is a type that allows them the ability to do what they need to do, have private time, but also have time for small groups and time for large groups. So you kind of have to be able to walk through someone through that who doesn't read plans, right? So you're not going to help them by just showing them a room size. You have to talk through, okay, this is how a student enters. This is where their security is. This is how this can feel like their own space, et cetera, et cetera. And so it helps having lived in it when someone has a difference of an opinion, you can talk through and say, well, yeah, if a student's able to have a place to hang up their coat, if they have a place to put the toiletries on a counter, that matters more than saving money on something else. So
that's really interesting. And it's little things that you don't,
mm-hmm.
that you just said that you don't necessarily think of, like there needs to be a place on the counter for folks to put their toiletries,
right.
Because they keep them in their room. They don't keep them
mm-hmm.
necessarily in their bathrooms.
Exactly.
And as a project manager or former project manager, do you feel like you were explaining, because to me, as someone who used to run residence halls, I would
mm-hmm.
often think that individual would know best, but as a designer, it sounds like you're the one who's actually explaining to them why a unique or new design is better than what is already in existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes you know, when you're doing you're in study phase, right? So I always say, well, study is free because you can change the walls, you can change the layouts, you can talk through it with people who deal directly with the students and who deal directly with parents and complaints and concerns
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So they're coming at it from a different perspective than just square foot cost and so forth. So things like ceiling height, you know, you kind of have to illustrate. So maybe we've done in the past, we set up a mock bedroom with furniture so people can walk through it and say, okay, oh, yeah, because we've had smaller bedrooms. So if you make the bedroom smaller and someone says, oh, students will hate that, you go, okay, well, the only way to explain it is to walk it through to someone because you don't want to make them feel alienated from that process because they're part of that process.
Mm-hmm.
But you want them to understand that some of these changes we do need to make, but they aren't going to be detrimental to the student's use of the space. We put a lot of effort in what we call the living room. So these would be the front entry lounges as you enter a space, because we understand that on a tour, especially,
mm-hmm.
this is what parents want to see. This is what can sell a building and can sell an experience versus walking into a building and not feeling connected to it or feeling like it's, you know, too sterile. That can affect how a student feels about going to a university.
Yeah.
I just did over a couple of years ago, the ground floor at Smith Hall for Mass Art. And that was set up really bad. It was kind of sterile, and it really didn't have a lot of good space where the students could gather, get natural light, et cetera. So we replaced all that. We moved the security desk close to the door. We added a glass wall, so someone coming into the building or leaving the building has a place to interact with other students on a regular basis. So those kind of changes, which, you know, don't really fit into a pro forma, if you will, in terms of cost, are important to the overall experience of the building and the experience of campus life. that we're trying to create whenever we build.
That's really cool. It is, I mean, I, the only professional experiences I've had have been in residence life and in student life. So thinking that there are, you know, organizations or companies that do this for a living is, I guess it's not something you really think about. You just come in and the facilities look great and you love them or you hate them. And either
it works or you don't.
But then, but then you realize like so much effort goes into the design and the build out. It's really
A great anecdote is that the Master College Building Authority, which is like 50 years old, 50 plus years old now, was actually created because the residence halls existed beforehand. There were 100 plus year old residence halls on some of the older state university campuses. And so what would happen is that the rent, the room and board, the students would pay would go into the general fund. And so when it's commingled, that money can be used for anything, right? And not necessarily maintaining and upgrading the facilities the students actually paid for and live in. So it was not uncommon before the development of our agency that or authority, I should say, that some of these spaces were crumbling, some of these buildings were crumbling. They were not places that students wanted to be. And so you couldn't encourage a student to pay a room and board fee, which probably goes up every year, every couple of years, if these facilities aren't well. So this authority was then separated as its own entity to make sure that all of that money the students put into the system is reinvested in the same places that they actually live. So that's what I really like about our mission, is the fact that you know, my salary and everything that we pay for comes from the students. So it is my mission to make sure that I have that I create a space and maintain a space that the students can feel proud about.
Wow, I honestly, before I signed up to facilitate this interview, didn't even know that this was an authority. I didn't know that.
I would say 99% of people in Massachusetts probably don't know we exist.
How did you get into this role?
As I mentioned before, I moved to Virginia for like 3 years after I graduated. I actually needed one more co-op to graduate, but I had an opportunity to move down to Southern Virginia, right near the North Carolina coast. And so I said, okay, great, I'll just try something new. So I did that for a few years. And then when I felt like coming back to the big city, I came back and I just happened to see an ad in the paper for an agency and authority I'd never heard of. And I figured, hey, why not, right? So that really started my journey here. But over the years, and I've been here 14 years.
Yeah.
So I've been here for a long time and I've seen us grow and change and continue our mission. So I'm very proud of the work that we do. But yeah, I really started out as just a random response to a random ad in the paper, and here I am.
Well, I think that's a really good message for students who are either embarking on exploring their co-op opportunities or they're still not sure what they want to do after they graduate. Respond to the job descriptions, even if you're not sure what the company does or if it's going to be something that's really exciting to you. You could end up having a decorated career from that one job that you took a chance on, simply because you were open to a new experience and to trying something that you hadn't before. So I think that's a great message for our students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, my first job in Virginia, I'll just quick anecdote. My first job in Virginia, they didn't know anything about me. I didn't know anything about Virginia. I just learned how to drive after taking the T all my life. And they were hiring. They were actually looking for a superintendent. Never been a superintendent in my life and probably was not qualified for the job. But I figured that, you know, so I said, hey, if they're hiring a superintendent, they've got money, right? So I said, well, they hired me. So I went in there, sent in my resume, did an interview with one of the owners. And of course, I had like, you know, no actual practical skills related to what they were doing. But he took a chance on me. He liked my energy. He liked, you know, the things that I had done in school and said, hey, let's hire you. So I worked there for 3 years, started out pushing permits and ended up becoming a project manager. And that job was building commercial restaurants, so like Burger King's and McDonald's and Wendy's, and something that I had no experience in, something I had never done in my life, so I had to learn a whole new system, Starbucks, Golden Corral, and just sort of fit in there because I took a chance, and they took a chance on me, and I was eager, and I listened, and I paid a lot of attention, and I learned very quickly.
Also good lessons for our students. So I want to jump back a bit. What do you think, from your time at Wentworth, if you had to say one thing, what was it about your Wentworth experience that truly prepared you for your lifelong career?
Oh, I would probably say in architecture engineering, it was, I felt a really good balance of theory and practice that I don't think I had expected, you know? So we did a lot of architectural theory, understanding why things are built, how they're built, et cetera. But then in the labs, you know, we did strength of materials, you know, we did concrete cylinder tests, you know, we looked at steel framing, we did welding in one of our labs. But we also did construction scheduling, construction estimating. And so it was like this mix of things that I could reach back to with everything that I was doing as I was learning the way that the professional world happened. It wasn't so foreign to me because we had actually done it. You know, we did surveying outside, you know, so on the campus. And I think I've seen it recently, too. When I visited the campus, so you kind of look at things that you're doing in class, and you kind of go, you know, is that practical? Was that real? But it turns out that if you take it in, you listen, you save your notes, you know, you may be called upon to participate in this as part of your at a co-op or a professional life, so it's good to have done it. So I'm not always saying no, I haven't done that. I'm saying, oh yeah, we did do that. I may not know everything about it, but I've at least done it before, so I'm not afraid to try it.
And I think that's one of my favorite parts about Wentworth as well, is that even a sophomore who comes to my office and says they want to do an optional co-op, they say to me, I don't have any experience. I'm like, well, what did you do in your labs? Because that is real hands-on experience, and it puts you so much farther ahead than a student who simply learned the theory. Which I think is something we can always stand to remind students about as much as possible. So you were looking for your co-ops in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like for you? Because I imagine it was very different than what our students are facing today.
So I don't recall it being a difficult experience.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's good or bad. My first co-op was in Boston with Walker Parking Consultant, just doing drafting on parking lot designs and garage designs. So, you know, very, very exciting stuff. So, the first thing you learn is you spend probably half your time pulling existing details off of, you know, an intranet site. So you learn a little bit about the magic of design. It has a lot of rudimentary stuff in it. But they were a company, and still I think still are a company, that was really interested in Wentworth co-ops, really interested in training Wentworth students. And giving us a chance to, you know, went on the field and, you know, measured lots, did parking lot assessments, you know, even did client, you know, drawings that would go right to the client as potentials for where they could change their parking or increase parking. So these were real practical applications with a company that was very excited about it. So I, you know, went to the co-op office. They helped me do my resume. I think they did a sample interview as well. To prepare me, and so then, you know, they helped me choose companies that were a good fit, and Wonka turned out to be great company. And interestingly enough, I was working there September 11th, 2001.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I vividly remember that day because we were all in the office that day. And, you know, I think, you know, for those of us who were around when it happened, we understand, you know, how serious and severe it was. But, you know, it felt good to have a community that, you know, could take you under their wing. And I talked about it, and I remember, you know, sitting around with a bunch of engineers that, you know, the World Trade Center towers were on fire, and they were all like, oh, you know, those things are going to fall. You know, there's only a certain temperature that the steel can get to before it's going to, the structure is going to collapse.
Wow.
So when it happened, it wasn't, you know, it was tragic, but it wasn't a surprise because we could look at it both as, you know, an emotional thing, but then also look at it on the engineering side and, you know, more comfort for the rest of us who weren't sure what to do. So
yeah.
I always remember my time at Walker Parking.
Wow. What a unique perspective to experience that from.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What time is it? I want to make sure we're being thoughtful about time. So I have a couple more questions for
sure.
You. You mentioned that you were one of the very few women and very few minority students at Wentworth when you were here.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you worked really hard to find your place. And it sounds like you were super involved on campus and in the community. What would you say to students who are living a similar experience, first-gen students from Boston, maybe students of color? What would you say to them now that maybe you wish someone had said to you, or maybe you didn't need someone to say to you, because it sounds like you jumped in and you felt welcome, and it seems like it was maybe a little bit easier for you to find your place because you knew the work you had ahead of you. So I'm curious what advice you would share with those students today.
Yeah, when I first came here, I definitely didn't have the confidence. When I first came to Wentworth, a lot of the students that I met in the architecture department were children of architects, children of engineers, people who had grown up in architecture offices and, you know, who had a broader background of, you know, the language of architecture and the language of the industry that I didn't have. So at first I was definitely well intimidated by my peers, but I found that what helped me and hopefully will help other people is to try to find the commonalities, or at least try to find, match your strengths and other people's weaknesses in ways that can be helpful to each other. So even though we came from different backgrounds, a lot of my class at the time came from like Maine and New Hampshire.
Mm.
Don't have a lot of minority students. So for them, it was one of the first times they, you know, were in class with someone who didn't look like them. So they probably came with their own concerns and their own apprehension as well. But being able to talk to people and understand that we're still people, even if we, you know, listen to different music or have different background experiences, ultimately, if we're all trying to get the same degrees, we can still help each other. So back in the ice ages, when we still used to do hand lettering, I was really good at it. So a student who might have a better way of building a model could talk to me about that, and I could help them out with hand lettering, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can take something that's small but is important to everyone and sort of use that as a catalyst to sort of build a bridge, even if you come from different backgrounds. As a student senate, one of the students there was an agent student, into engineering. I think he moved around to a couple of engineering majors, and, you know, he came from a very strict background where he had a sort of finance plate and so forth. So we didn't have the same commonalities in terms of that background, but, you know, we could sit around and joke and laugh together about a ton of other stuff because of that. So I would say people should be open to others in general. I think that when you're a minority student or a woman, there's sometimes the concern that you're going to be enveloped by the larger, broader mainstream culture and environment, but that's not necessarily so. I think you have to be willing to work in both with the students who come from your same background, but then also people who don't, because that's just the way of the world.
That's really great advice. We actually just, the students themselves, started a brand new group for women of color on campus called Crowns, mm-hmm. and they are having their inaugural fundraiser tomorrow. I'm really excited about it. We have groups for students of color, we have groups for women, but to this moment, I mean, at least in the history that I've been here, we haven't had a group specifically for women of color, so I think that's going to provide some much needed support and space for those students, which I think is going to be really awesome. So before I ask for your general advice, I heard that you had a radio show yourself.
Briefly.
Tell me about that. What was your show about?
Oh, man. So it was basically just a music show. My family's from the Caribbean, from Barbados. So it was a chance to be on the radio, right? So just play music. Right? Play music and, talk into the microphone, I guess, and then have my very special guest, my fellow dorm mate, and friends at Wentworth. And, just a way to do something I hadn't done, a way to hang out. And it was, I've seen the studio that you guys have. It's like really high tech. I'm just like, oh, man, we had like one little tiny board that I think was a manual, and that was it. And you just had to look at the sound levels and play your music. It was just more of a try something new, try something I hadn't done before. And, see what happens. Getting a chance to, like, put up flyers around campus, that was, like, the more exciting part. I could just combine my flyers, and stick them up all over the place. And then, some people recognize my voice, So I said, two people listen to my show. Okay, great. So.
You said briefly. What happened?
Well, so not my fault. Apparently, there may not have been a license for said radio, and someone else maybe said some things on the radio they shouldn't have said, and I guess a neighbor called and they shut them down.
Oh,
shut them
no.
Down. Yeah.
Drama.
It was fun while it lasted. Yeah, it was fun. I got a chance to do something that I hadn't done before, and it was still fun.
Yeah, it's a good party story. I had my own radio mm-hmm. show in college.
Right?
Well, we're not on we're on internet radio now, so we're not regulated by the FCC anymore. Take that as you will. We still have rules about what we can say during the daytime hours, but this is internet radio now. All right, Amanda. So last question for you. If you had one piece of advice or one overall message to share with the Wentworth students of today, what would you say to them?
I would probably say that there is a ton to learn at Wentworth. The academics, I think, there's a huge reputation at Wentworth. There's a huge reputation in the professional world at Wentworth. So you're exposed to, I think, some of the highest levels of academics in the science and technology space. So definitely absorb all of it, do the best you can. If you can take other courses at COF, do that, whatever you can do, study abroad. Just use as much of your time as possible that you have now to get as much of that academic stuff as possible. But I also say, get out there into the world, make those social connections, do things that are just fun, just because they're fun, whether it's your radio show or something else in the Wentworth community that's social, because it creates a more well-rounded person. And I think it also helps you figure out maybe where you want to be in the world. And Boston's an awesome place. Wentworth is in a perfect location to do all that, hop on a team whenever you want. So whatever you can do to fill your day with experiences, do that, because they'll be memorable in the future.
That was some really well-rounded, fabulous advice, Amanda.
That is amazing advice. Thank you.
Well, Amanda, thank you so much for being on our show. We love having alumni and employers come on and tell their stories. These are our most listened to episodes. So thank you so much. All right, we are going to sign off, folks. Remember, the co-op deadline is September 12th. That's 8 weeks away. If you have not met with your advisor yet this summer, I would say now is the time. So come by and see us on the first floor of Wentworth Hall.
And lastly, seniors, if you are listening, we are hosting two more senior send-off photo booths this week, Wednesday, tomorrow, during the barbecue, 11:30 to 1:30, and Thursday in the quad, also same time, 11:30 to 1:30. We'd love to discuss if you're still searching, sharing your successes, if you've been hired or planning on attending graduate school. We want to hear from you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening, and thank you again, Amanda.
Thank you.
Did you shut it off? Oh, did she?